Peter 8, I'm sorry, 1 Peter 3, 18 to 22, is found in page 1105 in your Pew Bible. For Christ also suffered for sins once and for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, in order to bring you to God. He was put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit, in which also he went and made a proclamation to the spirits in prison, who in former times did not obey. When God waited patiently in the days of Noah during the building of the ark, in which a few, that is 8 persons, were saved through water, and baptism, which is prefigured, now saves you. Not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience. Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, with angels, authorities, and powers made subject to him. The word of the Lord. Thank you for inviting me to be here today. It's an honor to be with you. There might be more people in the choir, so maybe we should. This is the first Sunday of Lent. Now, I'd like to approach this topic from perhaps a different way than you're used to addressing it. I want to explore what God is willing to do for us to bring us into relationship with Him. During this season, it is customary to focus on our sinfulness and our humanity, and we're reminded that we are just dust. We tend to focus on what we are going to give up during Lent. And I've perused Facebook, and I've seen some people and what their declaration of fasting is for Lent. And I've seen some really good, and I've also seen some comical things as well. I know that one person decided that he was going to give up Lent for Lent. I'm not sure it works like that. I wonder if sometimes we miss the point of Lent. I wonder if we are mistakenly using this time as a sort of a New Year's resolution reboot, perhaps. I don't know. Sometimes I think that we miss the point. We don't fully understand what this season is for. Now, admittedly, I am a Presbyterian transplant. I've only been part of this Reformed tradition for about 10 years. During that time, I've learned much about the love and grace of God, and it seems that every day I'm learning something new about God. It seems every day I learn and experience God in a new way. Every day I fall in love with God in a way that I would have never done so before. I have personally given things up for Lent. Those things are personal, and they're like a covenant that I've made between God and myself. I will tell you that the things that I have given up are things that I feel are standing in the way, getting in the way of me actually experiencing a full relationship with God. I believe that is the spirit of Lent. As I look at our lectionary readings for this week, there is a theme that keeps running consistently through all the readings that we read today. Baptism. More specifically, cleansing by water. The reading in 1 Peter, I believe, ties everything together in a nice little bow. So this morning, I would like to bring Peter into the conversation and explore the things that God has sacrificially given to us to bring us into relationship with Him. Son, Jesus, to take the sins of the world and made those sins his. 1 Peter 3:18. We're just going to keep referring back to 1 Peter. We're just going to dissect it a little bit. 1 Peter 3:18. For Christ also suffered for sins once and for all, the righteous and the unrighteous, in order to bring you to God. I think a good parallel, a great parallel, is also found in John 3:16. You know this. Let's say this together. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. God loves, God gave, God redeemed, God reconciles. Our rebellion has caused separation between us and God. God wanted to bring us back into relationship with him. He accomplished this through his Son, sacrificially. Second, God is patient with us. 1 Peter 3:20. God waited patiently in the days of Noah during the building of the ark, in which a few, that is 8 persons, were saved through water. I have a question for you. How long does it take to build an ark? God had made the decision. He's going to destroy the world. But how long do you think that Moses took? And Moses, I know he's going to do that. Noah. See, I'm watching. I'm making sure you're paying attention. How long do you think it took Noah to build this ark? The Bible doesn't specifically say, but some theologians, some Bible studies say it could have possibly taken somewhere around 120 years. 120 years. That's some patience. And only 8 people were saved in that ark. Now, I don't have special insight to the Bible other than what is stated. But I imagine, in my wild imagination, that perhaps this was something that people would come from all around the world to see, this spectacle. It was a tourist attraction. Here's Noah building this big boat, and why? And I would like to imagine that these people would say, "Hey, old man, what you doing?" And I don't think Noah would just ignore them and continue building on this ark. I mean, this is an apocalyptic message. God will destroy the earth. It's promised. Don't know when, but God will destroy the earth. So I imagine Noah looking down and preaching to them and saying, "Please, please save yourselves. Repent from your sins. This boat is big enough for all of us." The Lord is patient. God is patient with us too. 2 Peter 2:9 says, "The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some think of slowness, but is patient with you, not wanting any to perish, but that all come to repentance." Third, God cleanses us. I would like to read this passage, the next passage, from the Contemporary English Bible, give a little bit more clarity. Listen to what it says in 1 Peter 3:21 in the CEB Bible. "Those floodwaters were like baptism that now saves you. But baptism is more than just washing your body. It means turning to God with a clear conscience, because Jesus Christ was raised from death." Here, Peter is drawing a parallel between the great flood and baptism. Baptism is an act demonstrating what God has already done for us. God cleanses us through waters of baptism from the impurities that separate us from him. This leads us back to the purpose of Lent. What is it in your life that is keeping you from having a relationship with the Savior? What are the things getting in the way of that relationship? Is there anything we are putting in front of God? You know, idols? Think about it. Explore your heart. Jesus died so that we don't have to serve those idols anymore. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
See, I came from an evangelical background, so I like to hear amen so also. Listen to what it says in Romans 6:16-18. Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, that you are slaves to the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or obedience, which leads to righteousness? But thanks be to God that you, having once been slaves to sin, have become obedient from the heart to the form of teaching to which you were entrusted, and that you, having been set free from sin, have become slaves to righteousness. Through the cleansing waters of baptism, made possible by the blood of Jesus Christ, we no longer have to serve sin, but are instead slaves to righteousness. I don't know about you, but I'd rather be a slave to righteousness than to sin. Fourth and finally, God is willing to empty heaven to bring us back to Him. Did you hear what I just said? And I read that in 1 Peter 3:22. Listen to this. It talks about Jesus who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God with angels, authorities, and powers made subject to Him. So what does that mean? Jesus is our advocate who sits at the right hand of the Father. Jesus has all of heaven at His beck and call to bring us into relationship with Him. I like to look at Genesis 28:10-18. If you want to turn there, that's fine. I'm not going to read it. I'm going to tell the story from it. It tells a story, gives us a glimpse of what emptying heaven looks like. It's a story about Jacob. He is discouraged and he's made some bad decisions. It has estranged him from his brother and his family. He felt estranged from God as well. It's funny how sin does that, isn't it? He was on the run. He was weary and discouraged. And so he stopped for the night. He used a rock for a pillow. How many of you have slept on a rock? That can't be comfortable. And the Bible tells us that Jacob fell into a fitful sleep. Suddenly, in a dream, Jacob saw heaven open up. A ladder appeared, and angels were ascending and descending. Now, in my mind's eye, I like to imagine that these angels were taking orders from God Himself and were ministering to God's people on the earth. And Jacob got a sneak peek. Jacob got to see this in vision. When an angel would complete an assignment, that angel would go back into heaven for further orders. I see God like that. A God willing to empty heaven on my behalf and on your behalf to bring us back into relationship with Him. God is willing to do anything He can to close the gap between humans and Himself. You see, Lent is not just something we do. Lent is acknowledging what God is doing for us. In conclusion, I would like to read a passage from Psalm 8:3-9. The author of the psalm was so overwhelmed by the agency of God in our lives that he penned these words. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon, the stars that you have established. What are human beings that you are mindful of them, mortals that you care for them? Yet you have made them a little lower than God, and have crowned them with glory and honor. You have given them dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under your feet, all sheep and oxen, and also the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, and the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the paths of the sea. Lord, this is the psalmist's impression of what God is willing, the beauty of what God has done for us to bring us into relationship with Him. I lost my place. There's one more passage. This is it. This is the key. Verse 9. O Lord, our Sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth. That's the piece I was missing. I knew there was something. How majestic is God's name in all the earth because of what God has done.